Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Now we have completed the book of Acts, chapter by chapter. What we're going to do tonight is take a look at the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Namely, we're going to look at how the Pentecostals interpret the book of Acts. And my objective, of course, is not just to run them down or anything, but so that you will have a clear understanding of where they get it and what is the truth of handling the Scripture. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we have no platform. We have no scroll about which we need to be sure everything lines up. We simply desire to know the truth of Scripture, understanding it correctly. So we pray your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to things you'd have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Can we turn it up just a little bit? Okay. Now, the Gospels, yeah, that's good. The Gospels is the first advent of Jesus Christ. And the book of Acts is the first advent of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit was throughout the Old Testament. In fact, he starts in Genesis 1-2 and empowered people throughout the Old Testament. But when we speak about the first advent, referring to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, taking his place in every born-again believer on earth. When the rapture occurs and all believers are removed, in effect, the Holy Spirit is removed. And therefore, the man of lawlessness can run the world, and lawlessness will increase during the tribulation. Jesus Christ was removed by his ascension and session, which made way for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. John 7, 38 and 39. John 7, 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being, will flow rivers of living waters. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus Christ had not departed from the earth. So he needed to depart from the earth, then the Holy Spirit can come. Jesus Christ will never step foot on the earth during the church age. The church is removed, and then he will come and stand on the Mount of Olives, but nowhere on earth during the church age. Now, so the first thing you want to remember about Acts is that this is about the first advent of the Holy Spirit. Now, the second thing in dealing with the book of Acts, I want to quote Dr. Dwight Pentecost, a tremendous man in his own character and person, just a wonderful, wonderful individual, a scholar. If you don't have the book Things to Come, you need to get it. It's about that big, but it is a packed book, and many other books by Dr. Pentecost. Dr. Pentecost embedded in us, you do not build doctrine out of the book of Acts. Yes, it contains doctrine, but you don't get your doctrine out of the book of Acts. The book is titled Acts. It's about the acts that occurred by the power of the Spirit in development of the church. One of the great problems with the Pentecostal movement is that they build almost all their doctrine on speaking in tongues from the book of Acts, not Corinthians, the book of Acts. actually from erroneous interpretation, as we're going to see from the book of Acts. Even the Pentecostal movement, there are different interpretations about the whole matter of speaking in tongues. One, some say you're not saved until you speak in tongues. Two, others say that you are not spiritual. You do not have the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues. You're saved, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. And then third, others say that it's a gift. Not all believers will speak with tongues, but some will. So, if you're speaking to a charismatic person, and you're getting into a discussion, you want to find out which place they stand as far as their understanding of salvation and the Holy Spirit. You will want to find out what they believe about speaking in tongues. Some, one, believe that speaking in tongues is a known language. Some believe it doesn't have to be. It can be gibberish. So, you just have to deal with whatever their belief is. The Pentecostal movement uses the book of Acts as their foundation, claiming the pattern of or for the spiritual life. The pattern for the spiritual life should be taken from the book of Acts. It's their theology. And it's found in following the book of Acts. So, let's start with Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. So let's go to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. It's a book, chapter is easily divided. 1 through 13, sending of the Holy Spirit. 14 through 47, the first sermon of the church age given by Peter. Now, what's so powerful is in that first sermon, it's about Jesus Christ. Note, just by passing, Acts chapter 2, verse 27. Acts 2, 27. Because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Let's see here. Man, Acts 2, that's not what I wanted. Just a moment, because this is important. Do what? I don't. It's not what I'm looking. No, that's not what I wanted. Let's see where he talks about the resurrection. Okay, here it is. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men, Romans, Gentiles, and put him to death. But immediately his resurrection. But God raised him up again. So we have the death and the resurrection. Now, Pentecost is the day. Let's go to verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was completed or fulfilled. Pentecost means 50. Pentecost came 50 days after the first fruits. The first fruit speaks of the resurrection. First fruits, to be resurrected. Each of the special days in the Old Testament speak of God's plan. Passover teaches of the death of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Feast of the First Fruits speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Feast of Pentecost teaches the blessings of the Holy Spirit and beginning of the church age, a new dispensation. What Bethlehem was to Jesus Christ, Jerusalem is to the Holy Spirit. Okay, now verse 1 of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, as per the Lord's instruction in chapter 1. Now verse 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise, like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Okay, let's stop right here. Now, if they're going to make a dogmatic proclamation, the day of Pentecost, of a pattern, then this should accompany the coming of the Holy Spirit to every person. There should be some type of overt manifestation of the coming of the Holy Spirit. This should accompany it. If they're going to insist, and they do, that people speak in tongues upon receiving the Holy Spirit, then it is not out of line in sound thinking to insist that accompanying speaking in tongues should be with a noise from heaven and a violent wind sound, for that accompanies the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 at the Pentecost. All right, let's go on though. Verse 3. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them as of fire. Not fire, but as of fire. Now, since they are insistent on a pattern, which they are, then this should accompany anyone and everyone who receives a special anointing of the Holy Spirit, a visible sign. It happened to Jesus Christ. It happened on the day of Pentecost, the tongue of fire. Then if they're going to insist that if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. Okay? If they can insist that, we can insist that there should be accompanying of the visceral appearance of the Holy Spirit, not just a physical anointing. Now, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Okay, let's get down to the speaking here. Point 1. They are already believers. Everyone in the room is already a believer. Received the Holy Spirit did not bring about salvation, nor did it accompany salvation. They're already saved. 2, they are all filled. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not a matter of their stage of growth, their carnality, or anything. If they're there, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. 3, they're all filled. Now, this gets technical, but this is where false doctrine comes in, by not paying attention to the Scriptures. So we need to pay attention. This is not the same word for filled that's used in Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the present active imperative in Ephesians 5:18 of the verb pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O, P-L-E-R-O-O. While here in Acts 2, we have the aorist passive indicative, they receive it, of pimplemi, P-I-M-P-L-E-M-I, P-I-M-P-L-E-M-I. So, in Ephesians 5:18, filled with the Holy Spirit, aorist active imperative of pleroo. Here, we have the aorist passive. They receive it of plimplemi, P-I-M-P-L-E-M-I. Now, to understand what's going on, we need to look at this point under point 5:3 to Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So first let's look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word baptized simply means to dip, to immerse, to submerge. Or you could have the transliteration, not a translation, transliteration baptized from the Greek word. Now, not a translation, a transliteration. Some want to confine the definition to identify with. Now, that is not a definition of the Greek word. That's not a translation. See? In some cases, the reason for dipping or submerging was to identify. In Rome, they would dip their spears, the tip of their spear, in blood, generally pig's blood. Dip it in blood. That was to identify that weapon with the death of their enemy. But that's not a translation of the word baptism. To identify. The Greek word means to submerge. To immerse, to dip. See? In some cases, the reason for dipping or submerging, they dip for the purpose to identify. But not in every case. So, Jesus Christ says in chapter 1, verse 5, they will be submerged in the Holy Spirit. They will be dipped, submerged, translation, in the Holy Spirit. Which indeed they were in chapter 2, verse 4. They're totally surrounded by the Holy Spirit. With the result in subjection to divine will and divine power. Therefore, speaking in a language they did not know in their nature, each one will speak as the Holy Spirit dictates. Now, let's look at the speaking in tongues. Chapter 2, verse 4, to speak. Aorist active infinitive of laleo. Then it says, with other tongues. Other than what? Because other is in the Greek. Other than what? Other than the tongue that they speak with. That is, in classical Greek, the word has three meanings. Tongues has three meanings in classical Greek. One, the bodily organ of taste and speech, the human tongue. Two, language or dialect. Three, any tongue shape, like an island shaped like a tongue. The tongue whose control, now listen, signifies control of the whole person. Refers here to speaking a known language. Note carefully the ending phrase, as the Spirit was given them utterance. This is a very important phrase. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Whenever the Holy Spirit gives speech, it is the highest quality. It is never gibberish. In classical Greek, the Greek word used here refers to speaking clearly, to utter a wise saying. It is never used of the speech of an ordinary person, an ordinary discourse. It is used of the discourse of philosophers and wise men, never to just get jabber, but to speak of great truth and wisdom and sophistication. It is used only by Luke, and only three times, and we're going to look at all three times. Acts 2:4, Acts 2:14, declare to them, this is our word, declare to them, and then in chapter 26:25, but Paul said, I am not out of my mind. Remember when we studied this? He started speaking and Festus said, you're out of your mind? Okay. I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. That's our word. This word means to speak sophisticated, in a sophisticated, wise manner. If you have NASB with margins, you look in the margin and it says, of truth or rationally. So, this is never gibberish. This is a sound, normal language. Now, you've got a room full of people. As the Spirit gave witness to them. So, this person is speaking very clear Babylonian. This person is speaking very clear Greek. This person is speaking very clear in another language. So they're each speaking in different languages, but other people that know those languages can identify them with. This takes us back to the giving of different languages, the Tower of Babel. We have all the people at the Tower of Babel. We all speak Chaldean. God supernaturally goes in and confuses the mind of everyone so that you have different languages being spoken. So we're all in this, they say this room is crowded. And so someone over here is speaking Chinese. Well, everybody around doesn't understand. Somebody, oh wait, I understand you. And they're like, oh, okay. So we got ready to come over here. And everybody can go, oh, I understand that. And somebody over here, speak Italiano. Say it over here. All the people that can understand that, speak Greek. I understand that. And that's why all the people go to all the places they do all over the world. They don't want to be with each other. They want to be with their own kind. If the first racial description was language, by language, see? And that's why one of the first great attacks on America was language. Teddy Roosevelt said, we are a single speaking people. We don't speak Spanish and English. We don't speak German and English. We don't speak Italian and English. We speak English. Your language gives you your culture. And so therefore you keep that culture. So here, they're all speaking in different languages, and giving the gospel so that everyone in that language understands the gospel in his own language. Okay, so the tongue, the language, was foreign to them, but recognizable by those who spoke that language. Multitude of people from around diaspora came to Jerusalem and heard the gospel in their own language. They came from diaspora all over. Some of them came from down from Babylon, Egypt, different areas. They're in Jerusalem. They're in there this day. And they hear the clear presentation of the gospel in their own home language. So not only did they speak a foreign language to them, they spoke it at the highest level of sophistication, very eloquently, so that everyone could understand what was going on. Okay, summary points. 1. In the four Gospels, there is no reference whatever to any kind of speaking in an unknown tongue. Not any kind of reference. 2. Jesus was the first person to be indwelt, baptized by the Holy Spirit. No record he ever spoke in a foreign language or tongues. Talk about patterns. 3. There is no reference in the Gospels of any promise of speaking in tongues, no commands, no exhorting, no encouraging anyone to speak in tongues or even to desire it. 4. There are only 3 historical incidences of supernaturally speaking in a foreign language in the book of Acts. Acts 2:4, Acts 10:46, which we will look at, Acts 19:6. Only 3. And I'm going to show you case after case after case where people were saved and empowered by the Holy Spirit, never speaking in tongues. So, we have to ask ourselves a question. Why is speaking in tongues associated with that event, with that occurrence in Acts 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, but not anywhere else? Why not? See? So, well, study will reveal there was no seeking to speak in tongues, no expectation of speaking in a foreign language. In any of these cases, not even in those. And other than the presentation of the gospel, there is no significant place upon it. The important there is no record of any person who spoke in a language doing it a second time. Not one record. They did it once. We have to ask why. Then, never again by that same person. Why not again? So if you're gonna, what I'm trying to show you is, if you're gonna build your theology on pattern, then we have to be honest with pattern. Why isn't this all the time? When we can very easily explain why it is in these 3 occurrences, and why not again in any of these. So this is the whole issue that we've got to look at. See? So, very important to look at the occurrences. Now, point 5. Point 1, in the 4 Gospels, no reference to speaking in tongues. 2, Jesus Christ was the first one to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He did not speak in tongues. 3, there is no reference in the Gospels of any promise of speaking in tongues, no commands, exhorting, encouraging anyone to speak in it or desire it. 4, there are only 3 historical incidences of supernaturally speaking a foreign language. Acts 2:4, Acts 10:46, Acts 19:6. 5. Due to the fact that this supernatural phenomenon occurred only in the book of Acts. Now, we're going to come to Corinthians. I know some of you astute will say, well, what about in Corinthians? We'll come to that. Due to the fact that this supernatural phenomenon occurred 3 times in the book of Acts. Pentecostals do not point out that it is not in any of the epistles to the church, save where Paul is explaining it, not where it happened, but explaining it. Nor does Paul ever speak in tongues. Not in his salvation, which was dramatic. Well, if he was going to speak jabber, he would have done it then. He was on the road to Damascus. Supernatural power came on him, blinded him, all that. No tongues. Not then, not ever. See? So, Paul did not speak in tongues, nor did Timothy. Yes, sir. No. He said he talked about baptism, but not tongues. Huh? Find it! Please, look it up. Okay, while he's looking it up, spoke in tongues, nor Timothy, nor Titus, nor anyone for that matter recorded in Acts other than those three occurrences. Point six, the supernatural ability to speak in tongues was given on the day of Pentecost to usher in a new dispensation, to let them know things were changing. Jesus Christ prophesied it, and so it was dramatically presented. Point seven, every person who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior in the church age has 34 things given to them or happened to them. Among them are born of the Spirit, John 3:5-8. Born again, born from above. 2, baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:5, 1 Corinthians 12:13. 3, permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit, John 7:39, Romans 5:5, Romans 8:9, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, Galatians 4:6, 1 John 3:24, permanently indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. By the way, whenever you find it, raise your hand. Yes. I'm sorry? Let me turn there with you. Let's all turn to that. Let's take a look. I missed it if it's there, and it is, apparently. 1 Corinthians 14. What verse? 18. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Okay, there you have it. So he spoke in languages. He spoke in languages more than anyone. So I got to correct that. He did speak in tongues more than anyone. But we have no record of Timothy or Titus or any of the others did. Okay? Now, so, I'm sorry? However, in the church, I desire to speak five words which my mind with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Because when you speak in an unknown tongue, you don't know it. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians says, if you do this in public, in a sermon, in a church, you got to have an interpreter. If you don't have an interpreter, you don't speak in tongues. It's very clear. If you speak in tongues in an assembly, you have an interpreter. If you don't have an interpreter, you don't do it. And there's the reason why. Yes. It is a language. It is a... No, it's a language. Yes. Yes. And the person speaking in tongues, as Paul points out, glad you went on to verse 19, they don't know the language you're speaking. They're speaking a foreign language. They don't know it, so they can't expound on it. So, I'd rather speak five words with my mind so that I can instruct others. You don't instruct others speaking in tongues. It's a very powerful verse. Thank you very much, Kit and Judith. Alright, so, things dealing with the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit, baptized of the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit, permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and then 4, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Your sealing is the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 4:30. He doesn't seal you. Having him is your seal. Okay? Can't lose him. And then 5, given spiritual gifts, one or more, 1 Corinthians 12:11, 27 through 31, and then 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2. So, these are the things that are said to happen to a believer in the church age in dealing with the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, permanently indwelt by the Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and then given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's what they claim. Yeah. But not everyone that is baptized by the Spirit did it. Not Timothy, not Paul, not the Ethiopian, as we'll look at him. These kind of things. Okay. Nowhere in the epistles to the church is speaking in tongues an issue except for 1 Corinthians, where it is used to present the gospel in an unknown tongue. Now, why is Corinthians such a big deal? You have to appreciate Corinth. Corinth is a metropolitan. It'd be like Dallas. Well, it'd be more like Las Vegas. And people came from all over the world to be Corinthicized. In other words, to live it up, to raise hell. Like people go to Las Vegas for the same reason. There's all their money. Lose all their morality, lose everything. So they lose their house. So these kind of things happen. So here are people from all over the world in Corinth, so that the speaking in tongues would be desirable, so that people from all over the world would hear the gospel in their own language. But even there, Paul said, I'll give you a greater gift to desire, and that spiritual love. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When you are empowered by the Holy Spirit so that you can speak another language, it is far greater to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to love with the love that Christ loved. It is far greater to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to love with the love of God. God the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love. When we are empowered by the Spirit, it is far greater to manifest the love of Christ. We are commanded to do that. We're not commanded to speak in tongues. We're commanded to love. And the only way we can do that is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He supernaturally takes over. Not only that, eight other gifts of Galatians chapter 5 are mentioned. There are others that are not mentioned there. Self-control, peace, inner happiness. I think that one of the best examples I can give you for inner happiness and peace is to have inner happiness and peace when there is no external reason for you having it. Overtly, what's going on in your life, you should be falling apart. But there's a peace. Others won't even understand it. Why aren't you falling apart? And it's hard to explain to them. I'm at peace. That's when you know it's of the Holy Spirit. When I normally would have acted this way, now I know I'm under the power of the Spirit, and this is the way I act. Not because I speak gibberish, not even because I speak of unknown tongue, but because I love with an unknown love. I love with a love that surpasses understanding. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That should be far more desired by people than speaking with tongues. Now, as to the Greek word in Acts 2:4, filled with the Holy Spirit. This Greek word is not used by any other writer than by Luke. Nowhere is one commanded to be filled with this Greek word, with or by the Holy Spirit with this word. They are filled, used here, and in a few other places in Acts, was done involuntarily. We'll see that through other cases. While in our Christian life, we are commanded to be filled. It's a purpose that we make a decision to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But with use of this word, used in Acts 2:4, it came on him involuntarily, supernaturally, and only one time. So, dealing with the Greek, we learn a lot about it. Now, let's look at another case where they spoke in a foreign language. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We go all the way from Acts 2, Acts 10, to pick up the pattern. This is no pattern. So, let's clear that up right away. Okay, Acts 10, let's note the context. Let's note the context in Acts chapter 10, and we're going to be looking in verse 44 and following. So let's note the context. Gentiles hear and believe the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, it was primarily Jews, Jewish believers. In Acts chapter 10, it's primarily Gentiles. Peter is giving a report of his ministry to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius. Now note verse 38 in the house of Cornelius. Verse 38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Didn't speak in tongues, but with power. And how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, note in verse 38, Jesus Christ is empowered by the Holy Spirit, does not speak in an unknown language. Just for the flow of it, look at verse 39, the crucifixion. We are witnesses of all things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also gave him to death by hanging him on a cross. Verse 40, resurrection. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible to others. Okay, note verse 43. Verse 43, of him all the prophets bear witness. This idea of messianic passages. I'm in that school, the pastor of this church, me. I believe every book, every prophet, every writing is about Jesus, the anointed of God. Jesus the Messiah. His first advent, his second advent, his death, burial, resurrection, Bethlehem, coming back to Mount of Olives, all of it clearly prophesied from Genesis through the writings. All the prophets. Now, note the circumstances for speaking in tongues. Let's read from verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, now he's in a house of Cornelius, he's in a Gentile house, it's his first time to do that, these are all Gentiles there, their customs are different, their language is different, but he's in their house. Now, while Peter was speaking, was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Okay, simultaneous action. While Peter is speaking, while they are listening, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Now verse 45. Verse 45. All the circumcised, who's that? Jewish believers who came with Peter. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed. People, this is why the speaking in tongues occurred. To teach them this was going to happen to Gentiles. Verse 45. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Okay, let's know some things about verse 45. One, this overt manifestation of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was to teach the believing Jews that Gentiles were to share in the promise of the Holy Spirit. See, let's say an unbeliever's here, believe in Jesus Christ while I'm teaching, they're saved, they're immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit, no one knows it. They don't even know it. So, what God wants the Jews to know, that Gentiles in the church age are receiving the same blessing that they received in Acts chapter 2. So that's why what is going on in the house of Cornelius with these Jews present, they can go back to Jerusalem. We saw it with our own eyes. We saw it. We heard it. So let's point two, speaking in languages because they were Gentiles who for all reasoning understood Peter's words. Therefore, the sole purpose for the speaking in tongues was for the benefit of the Jewish believers present, so they would realize that Gentiles receive the gift of salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit just as the Jews did. This manifestation made it genuine before their ears and their eyes. Okay, any question of why it's happening in the house of Cornelius before Peter? Okay, point four. Randolph O. Yeager, Y-E-A-G-E-R, Y-E-A-G-E-R, on page 18 of volume 10 of the Renaissance of the New Testament. It's an excellent series of studies of the Greek, points out that the word used, this is tremendous, that the word used for gift of the Holy Spirit, doria, D-O-R-E-A, is used in the New Testament only for the gift of salvation, as distinct from doron, D-O-R-O-N, for doria. Now, show you, I'm going to give you all the passages he lists, but turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 15, just to give you one of his examples. Romans 5, 15. I had a lot of fun reading this with Yeager. Romans 5, 15. It's about 20 volumes. Chris and Trey gave me the whole set. So thankful for it. Not Chris. Went blank. They gave me this whole set, and I love it. Use it all the time. So, now look at Romans chapter 5, verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 15. But the free gift is not, that's the free gift of salvation, which is what he's talking about in chapter 5, is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift, salvation, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. That's to all who believe. Look at verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, imputation of righteousness, will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. I put this in my other lexicons. This is an astounding fact. And that the word is used only for the gift of salvation in every occurrence, and the Holy Spirit's given in salvation, righteousness given in salvation, and some of the 34 things that we receive in salvation use this word. See, the point here is that speaking in tongues in Acts occurred only at salvation. See? Now, in Acts chapter 2, they were already saved, beginning of the church age. But now, it is accompanied with salvation to show that Gentiles, when they believe in Jesus Christ, they are empowered by the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues showed that. See? So, the point, that's what the point here is. Now, look at verse 46. Now, let's go back to our study where we are in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts 10, and let's go back now and let's look at verse 46. Verse 45. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now, let's look at verse 46. For they were hearing them speaking with languages and exalting God. Then Peter answered. Okay, let's look at verse 46. It starts off causal. Because. It's a causal. Telling us why this is going on. So, the point here is that Cornelius and his friends, under the giving of the Holy Spirit, were manifesting the same evidence of grace that was manifested on the day of Pentecost to the Jews. Again, the reason for this was to make it clear, manifest to the Jews, that Gentiles received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit just as the Jews. So there could be no battle, there is no partiality with God. Jew, Gentile, you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive the gift. Now, let's continue reading in Cornelius' house, verse 47. Surely, no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on a few days. Okay, the closing verses make it clear. They are already saved. They already have the Holy Spirit. And then they're baptized. Their baptism has nothing to do with their salvation. Has nothing to do with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost say that it does. It does not. It's clear. They have already spoken in the language. They have not been baptized. So they follow the baptism of Christ and the book of Acts. Now, the third and final occurrence, let me see here. I don't want to just rush through it. So, no, let's save that for next Wednesday night, and we'll do some other things to close out the study of the book of Acts. So next Wednesday night, we'll take up the third occurrence of speaking in tongues recorded in the book of Acts. See? So we had three. We studied one in Acts 2, one in Acts 10 in Cornelius' house. We have one more, where Gentiles were speaking tongues. So we'll just look at it, why it happened. Yes?
You have to speak in tongues, be saved, speak in tongues, and get baptized, or you are not saved. And they blatantly said that if all these people that hear Billy Graham and that went down, boy, aren't they going to be surprised, because if they don't speak in tongues and they're not are baptized by the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, and then physically baptized,
yes,
they're not going to heaven.
Yeah, that's what they believe.
Yeah.
There are certain Pentecostals who believe that.
Mm.
And that's why I'm taking this time with you, not so you're going to argue with them, but so you will have the answer. That's my job as your pastor. So you will have the answers, what's going on with all of this as far as Scripture is concerned. So that's what we'll do.
Well, it seems like to me it's emotionalism that leads them to speaking this gibberish rather than, because most of these churches will sing and praise and worship for 20 minutes
or an hour.
And then they start getting all emotional, emote, and start speaking in gibberish.
If it's a true language, it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So you believe there's actually a language. Well, we know, but today.
No, I do not believe that this is in operation today. Now, I said this from the pulpit. It caused quite a stir years ago. And in fact, a lot of people left the church when I said it. I see nothing in Scripture for us judging, aligning Pentecostals. I do see something against us judging and maligning. So, I see nothing in the Scriptures that says they are wrong. I see nothing in the Scriptures that says they are heretics. But I do see in the Scripture that we're not to judge. That's their deal. Leave them alone. Now, what I wanted to give you as your pastor, answers. So that you will have a clear understanding of Scripture, where they get it, where they miss it. Where we get that it's not, and why. So, this is where we are in our study. We'll take a brief look at what happens in Corinthians, because that's necessary also to add that study to it. But yeah, I want you to come with your questions, and if I do not answer them, let me know. Let me know. I'm not here to put them down. I'm not here to make you where you can argue with them. I'm here so that we can understand why in our whole movement of evangelicals, we do not have speaking in tongues. Billy Graham, Dr. Ironside, Kenneth Wiest, I mean, I just name great scholars, great teachers, great preachers, James Jason Machen, all these great people. None of them did. So, why not? I don't believe it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church age. I believe it happened in the first part to start the church age, to let them know the church age has begun, different from the age of Israel, and to let Gentiles know, let Jews know, Gentiles are included in the plan of God. Gentiles receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So,
question: don't you believe when they went in Israel and they had the speaking in tongues? Don't you think that because they said people thought they were drunk? Don't you think it's another way of God showing the first advent of the Holy Spirit? And to show them, because other people thought they were crazy,
yes,
they were speaking, but they did hear a language.
Yes,
and they said, oh my goodness, they're really speaking a language.
Yeah. They were not speaking gibberish. Okay, anything else? All right, next week we'll continue here. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we have no platform, and we have to go to the Bible, make sure it stays up with that. Our platform is from the Word. Our beliefs, our statement of faith, is from your Word. Why we believe what we believe, from your Word. Therefore, Father, we thank you. We praise you for wisdom, insight as we look into Scripture. So that, Heavenly Father, we can desire the Holy Spirit, that we may desire the love wherewith Christ has loved us and died for our sins. I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen tonight to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ.